Okay, a very good morning to all of you, to all my members and all the students, Department of Political Science, and also the faculty members and students from other departments also. It's our great privilege and also great honor for us to have Professor A.S. Naran from IGNU. He's a distinguished professor of political science from the School of Social Science at IGNU. He has written more than dozen books. In fact, all of us, we have read his books, students and faculty alike. And he's an expert on many areas in all aspects of Indian government and politics, the minority issues, on social justice issues, on human rights and European Union, on Canadian studies, on comparative politics. He has in fact books on many things. He has been president of Shastri India Institute. He has been a visiting fellow at Brock University, Queen's University, McGill, all first-rate institutions in Canada. So I think basically he needs no introductions, and he has been a great friend of our department, and also personally also we respect him a lot. So he comes to our department and also to Jamia Millia on many different foras. So without wasting any time, I would like to request him. Today's topic is Changing Contours of Federalism, Reflections from the Recently Held 2014 Elections. So as you know, this particular election was a test case of federalism. The new Prime Minister Narendra Modi recently, as I told you the other day, on the 15th of August, the Red Fort speech, he talked about this, that he is a Pradhan Sevak and he is like Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas. And also the thing is Acche Din. I mean, some people can say as Acche Din for which state? Or Bure Din for which states, okay? So if you belong to Prakash Singh Badal or Chandrababu Naidu or Jayalalitha, the people who have got alliances with the NDA, the people alliances, maybe they are feeling much more happier. But the people like Akhilesh Jadav or Mamata Banerjee or Naveen Patnaik, maybe for them it's not Acche Din. So you know, when we talk about federalism, I mean, in the last 15 years, it has undergone a lot of transformations. Just yesterday, out of curiosity, I was looking into the American model. You know, in America, a long time ago, more than 200 years ago, they had this federalist paper, anti-federalist papers. They have got federalism of all shapes and sizes. Dual federalism, cooperative federalism, creative federalism, new federalism, judicial federalism, fiscal federalism, progressive federalism, vertical federalism, horizontal federalism. Even in India also, we have got symmetric, asymmetric federalism. So there are all kinds of definitions and nuances. So without wasting any time, again let me request you to please give a big round of applause to Professor A.S. Naran. Professor Naran, we are very grateful to you that even though we are late, and this is because of the traffic and chaotic conditions, he will speak for about 20-25 minutes. Thereafter, we will have a very open-ended Q&A. Thank you very much. Professor Naran, sir.
Sir, ye nahi aa paya mera sir. Friends, let me start with apologies. In fact, day before yesterday, I had almost decided to. Kange boss, Assam sab, Alam sab kahan chale gaye? I was hospitalized last week, so day before yesterday, till day before yesterday, I thought that I will ask for the apologies not to be here today. But then only yesterday I joined back the university, having been discharged from the hospital, and then there was a call from Professor Alam. So it was more a question of credibility, how to say no at this stage. And since one is in hospital, and so physically and mentally one was not in a frame of mind, and whatever was left was taken care by today's traffic, 2.5 hours on the road. But nevertheless, friends, as Professor Alam has very rightly said, that in India, federalism has become a very major issue as far as electoral politics is concerned. During 2014 elections, an attempt was made to project as if elections in India have nothing to do with federalism. 5,000 crore rupees, 5,000 crore media bill to project image of an individual was mean that elections are a presidential election in the name of a person rather than for a particular federal or any party system. Even the major party whom that individual represented was relegated to the sidelines, and the media, paid and unpaid both, took it on itself to show that these elections were Modi-centric elections. But it was not, and it is not, and if you have a little deep analysis of these elections, you will find that the facts are little different. ...2014 is also important from various aspects. If you remember, 20 years back in 1994, Supreme Court of India gave a very historical judgment, which is popularly known as Bommai case. And in Bommai case, Supreme Court decided that federalism was one of the basic structures of India's constitution. Though Article 1 of the constitution, Article 3 of the constitution are interpreted in a way that Indian federal system can be converted into a unity system simply by an act of parliament, because parliament can create and discreate states, but that Bommai's case made it very clear that federalism was one of the basic structures of Indian federalism. Second, in fact, right from the beginning, the aspirations and expectations of people in different territorial units of India have been very important. In spite of various efforts made by various interests, the diversity of India has not been able to be crushed. So from 1960s onward, we find assertion of this diversity in one way or the other. For economic reasons, for political reasons, for identity reasons, but there has been a continuous process of assertion of diversity. I'm not speaking in a negative sense, because in India it has become a fashion, if you talk of ethnicity, you are talking in a negative sense. Thus I am using the word diversity, which is a very positive notion for any country, and particularly for a country like India. We are proud of this diversity, and this diversity has been asserting itself. And by 1989 it became very clear that India was not only a federal society. Late Professor Rashiduddin Khan used to say that India is a federal society. The very society of India is a federal in nature, and therefore this federal society has to be governed by a federal state. And by 89 it had become very clear that whether it is a single party rule, it is a coalition, whatever it is, in elections and governance and everywhere, the federalism has its basic sway. Therefore, from 1989 onward, one manifestation of this federal structure was the emergence of coalition governments. And very important role in that coalition governments of regional parties. Regional parties, again, not in the sense that they were anti-national, anti-anything, simply asking for a rightful share in the pie for their regions. And it is a matter of chance or matter of coincidence that a large number of states in India, territorially, there is a convergence of culture and territory. The culture and territory, therefore the regional party represents both that region as well as the culture, cultural, ethnic identity of that area. National Conference represents the Kashmiri culture of Kashmir. Akalis represent the so-called Sikh aspirations of Punjab. Various DMK parties, apart from Tamil Nadu, Tamil aspirations, Trinamool Congress, all are regional, and the convergence is region and cultural identity. And 89 onward, they have been playing that important role in the coalitions, whether it is a UPA coalition or NDA coalition or any other coalition, they had been playing an important role in that. They also started something what we call during 90s the process of globalization, liberalization. This process of globalization and liberalization also had an impact on the federal structure. Federalism in a country like India has two aspects. One of autonomy, another of removal of inequalities. Autonomy means that states should have right to self-determination. Self-determination on the sense, not in the sense of secessionism. Self-determination in the sense of how we want to develop, who we want to live and all that. But that does not mean that in a country as a whole, few states keep on growing and other states keep on going to the hell. Therefore, maintenance of some sort of regional balances, removal of regional inequalities. And that was one of the important tasks of India's planning process. One of the important tasks of Indian planning process was removal of regional disparities within the framework of federal system. Globalization, liberalization slowed that process because now the what was known as command economy earlier through planning, as Francine Frankel has written, this was converted into market federal market economy. So in federal market economy, what is important is foreign direct investment. Development is through foreign direct investment. And states, because now we are more concerned of their autonomy, so they are autonomous to attract FDI. So which state will get FDI? When public sector or the government has to spend money, the purpose is different. The purpose is different. Government's purpose is not profit. The government's purpose is welfare. And private investors' basic purpose is
profit.
So why anyone invest money, even a foreigner, basically to earn profit? So chief ministers started competing with each other to attract FDI and providing to these investors an opportunity to come to my state, invest and earn. And in that, the already developed states were able to attract FDI, be that Gujarat, be that Tamil Nadu. So this balance, or the purpose to remove regional disparities, got shattered. Disparities, rather than getting removed, started getting accentuated. Then you might have read our constitution, there is an article 253. Article 253 is the power to enter into treaties, and that power of entering into treaties is with the union government. So now, under the process of globalization, to fulfill countries' commitments to various agreements like under WTO, it is the union government will enter into treaties. And those treaties, because of the nature of agricultural economy of India, may not be beneficial to all states equally. So this question of treaty making powers also became very important. Who has the powers and how much states should have say in that. So what I am saying is that from this Bumai's case 1994, that can be taken as a benchmark, but that's a period where the fact of India's federalism gets established. It is also a period when globalization, liberalization starts, and its impact on the process of planning, and which very honestly Prime Minister in his 15th August speech has said is over. Okay. So this is one side of the picture, that from 89 onward, taking that Bumai case in the center, the election in India, these various studies so far earlier which have been made, was, it was, in fact, some observers said that there were 543 elections in India, in each constituency, independent of each other. Then you might have studied paper by Yugendra Yadav and Suhash Palishkar, ECSD's people who make election studies. About 2009 elections, they said that actually no, it is the people who vote primarily for states, even during parliamentary elections. Voting is primarily for the performance at state. So it is what you call not parliament, not prime minister is elected, but it is the vote for chief ministers or performance of the state governments and all that. So that has been the picture. But efforts were made in 2014 that no, things are different. It is going to be one individual who is important and therefore likely. But then what we find, that if you see both during the campaign period itself, during election itself, and after elections in spite, of best of the efforts by the managers of the party, the within inverted commas free media, the reality of the social nature of Indian society could not be there. Were political parties who openly, publicly contested this factor of so-called one nation election and solidly supported the idea of federal system. As you all know, Mamata Banerjee, TMC leader, she went to the extent of projecting a federal front. She said that we should have a federal front, and particularly she approached AIDMK, Odisha Chief Minister, her own party, that we have our stakes and therefore we should have a federal structure. And political parties in these states, almost all southern states, eastern states, for instance, now you see the AIDMK election manifesto, it reads, the central and state governments should equally share amongst themselves sovereign power. Word is equally share among themselves sovereign power and should not restrict each other and must act independently within their own spheres of jurisdiction. 2014 elect party. TMC points out, commitment of federalism in our constitution has not been carried out in spirit or in practice. Therefore, after 66 years of independence, the time has come for us to empower the states. While the center concentrates on its appropriate domain like foreign policy, defense, etc., for the GNU. Then again, Nitish Kumar from Bihar, he said the Indian federal structure rests on a highly detailed and equally complex as well as the delicate distribution and balance of powers between. My idea of quoting all this is that these political parties did not buy this theory that election was a presidential or prime ministerial election in which who is going to be the prime minister of this country was an important factor. The important factor was how the sovereign powers in this country needs to be shared or have to be shared. Then let us come to the outcome of the elections. Again, media has, because no election analysis are also media level, so serious analysis are a bit missing. So Modi has won, great, all that type of situations. But if you see the analysis, what you find? BJP by itself won 282 seats. 282 seats. But with about 31% of the votes. As you all know, in India we have the first past the post system, and in which one can win elections even by 30% of votes. So, just with 31% of the votes, the party got 282 seats. More important than that, out of these 282 seats, 206 seats are located, out of 282, 206 seats are located in 9 Hindi heartland states, and of course Gujarat. So almost no seats in eastern India, hardly any seat in south, Karnataka a bit of an exception, one or two seats in Andhra Pradesh. But overall, so the party claiming to represent the so-called nation technically represents 9 states. Yes, NDA partners included. But are those NDA partners agreeable to the philosophy of the party? For instance, any party with the DMK name, AIDMK, TIDMK, any DMK, one or two of them joined NDA alliance, can they agree with the philosophy of Hindi, Hindu, Hindustan? So they joined NDA, but not the so-called unionist idea of the NDA. So historically, BJP has been strong in almost these 10 states. And it remains strong in those 10 states. Yes, it has increased its vote percentage in some other states like Assam, Jammu and Kashmir even. Assam have made a dent in West Bengal, Kerala, but not in terms of winning a sizable support or winning seats. So this is another aspect. Now, another important thing which I like to bring to your kind notice is that in 3 states, It was a clean sweep. All seats went to BJP. Gujarat, Rajasthan, hai? Delhi. We have very interesting statistics going back. The statistics tells that, as I told you, these Yogendra Yadav and other studies have made clear that people have been voting more for the performance of states. That in a state, if elections are held, for parliamentary elections are held within 2 years of state assembly elections. अगर एक स्टेट में आज असेंबली इलेक्शन हुआ है तो 2 साल से कम पीरियड में पार्लियामेंट का इलेक्शन भी हो जाए देयर इज एवरी पॉसिबिलिटी दैट दैट सेम पार्टी विल विन. सो गोइंग बाय दैट लॉजिक इन गुजरात, इन छत्तीसगढ़, इन मध्य प्रदेश, BJP was likely to win.
But the situation was not the same in UP.
No, I'm not talking of UP. I'm saying these things are not black and white, but this is a trend. And of course, if that government performs well, if within one year, if the government is prepared to sell the state. Situation was same in Delhi. Had Kejriwal not resigned, AAP would have won in Delhi 4-5 seats. So that again theory, within 2 years elections. So BJP was going to win some of these states in any case, given that situation of performance of the chief ministers. What came up, of course, because of the see. One thing keep in mind, no elections is one point election on the issue election. There are various. So, जो कुछ यूपीए ने किया वो तो हम भूल नहीं सकते ना. खुद अडवाणी साहब कह रहे हैं कि यूपी ने अपने पांव पे कुल्हाड़ी मारी तो हम क्या करें, वो ये हारने को तैयार बैठे तो हम क्या करते. तो दो सेक्टर्स आर देयर बट वी आर टॉकिंग इन ब्रॉडली. सो देयर फॉर इफ केजरीवाल हैड नॉट रिजाइन इन दिल्ली, they would have easily won 4 or 5 seats. So therefore, what we see that in these clean sweep states, Rajasthan. Now here again a very interesting statistics. There have been many cases earlier also when parties have one clean sweep in some of the states. Now, mostly earlier, wherever there was a clean sweep before 1977, the winning party would get about 68% to 69% seat votes. Then in 77 it was 68%, 1984 it declined to 58.8%, and 2014 the average vote share in these clean sweep states has declined to 53.47%. You are winning all the seats, but your vote percentage is not even 55%. So what does all this mean? That this projection of a picture that these elections were personalized, one person oriented, one leader oriented, one leader's slogan of development, governance, all that type of things, and therefore euphoria that now India has moved away from so-called role of federal parties, regional parties and all that. Added to that, not only BJP chief ministers, all those chief ministers, be that in Odisha, be that in Tamil Nadu, be that in West Bengal, on the basis of their performance, they led their parties, even for parliamentary elections, to handsome victories in their states. And final, only last week you have seen the trend in by-elections. Elections in 18 by-election state, and before that also there was Jharkhand mein hua tha by-election, Uttarakhand. We have the by-election in Uttarakhand and now in Bihar, Karnataka and everywhere. So the social factors of this country are so significant, so important, that this issue of diversity cannot be simply kept under the carpet. No one denies the importance of development, governance, but the question will always remain, development for whom? Governance for whom? Now again, for instance, one may say, how does it matter? But 2014 elections, for the first time, this 16th Lok Sabha have just 4.05% members as Muslims. It doesn't mean that even if 100% are Muslims, they will make something for the Muslims. But ultimately, it is a psychological sense of presence. हमारे लोग वहाँ बैठे हैं. So now there are just 22 Muslim MPs in a house of 543, and in terms of plus, what you call percentage, is not even 5%. So what I'm trying to emphasize is that governance, development must remain important issues, are important issues, but in a country so diversified, these issues cannot be look purely in sense of unified hegemonic or harmonized sense of development. Development of India means what? Development of India means what? GDP is growing, significant section of population goes to bed hungry, so public posture may be anything. मुझे कुछ टर्म्स हैं जिनसे बहुत डर लगता है, उनमें से एक यह जब लोग कहते हैं कि मैं सेवक हूं, मुझे इस टर्म से बहुत डर लगता है। अब मंदिर में जाओ, गुरुद्वारे में जाओ, मस्जिद में जाओ, सब वहां पे ही कहा जाता है कि मैं सेवा करने के लिए आया हूं, इसलिए मुझे इस गुरुद्वारे का प्रधान बना दो। तो ये सेवक शब्द है ना, जो 15 अगस्त को इस्तेमाल किया गया, मुझे कम से कम डर लगता है। पॉपुलिज्म में आई डोंट नो व्हाट इट इज, मैं प्रधान सेवक हूं, प्रधानमंत्री हूं, यू कैन से एनीथिंग, बट इज माई एक्सपीरियंस इन लाइफ इज दिस वर्ल्ड सेवक इज, अरे सेवा तो मैं कर लो, तो प्रधानमंत्री बनने क्या जरूरत है। एनी हाउ द आइडिया इज दैट अपार्ट फ्रॉम अदर, सिंस अवर्स इज अ लिमिटेड आइडिया, कंसर्न इज विद दैट, सो वी हैव टू टेक नोट ऑफ दिस, that this type of media projected, media created one person oriented politics in this country had no place. If we are prepared to accept this, the trends will not be very comfortable. In this country, there has to be a politics of accommodation, politics of unification, accepting the very idea of diversity. A, framers of the constitution themselves were very visionary people. That is why they kept in our constitution things, not only article, all noise is made about article 370. There is article 371 also in the constitution. What is Article 371? Again, special provisions for states. There is Schedule 5th in the Constitution. Schedule 6th in the Constitution. The very purpose is accommodate all diversity. So whole noise is made about Article 370 and all that. And is it so easy to remove Article 370? Having created a euphoria, how will all these political parties who are in support of federalism help you in abolishing Article 370? So therefore, federalism was an important aspect of India's political process. From 89 onward, it became a very important aspect of India's electoral process. And by 2009 elections, it had become very clear that in India's electoral process, federalism is an important aspect. Efforts have been made in 2014. That federalism is yes, because Modi himself says that he was a chief minister, he knows the importance of states, he knows that all those type things. That's something different. But really accepting the idea of federal system in terms of right to resources, in terms of right to land, in terms of right to development, in terms of wider aspects of self-determination, it is something different. So that those efforts which were made, I don't think that these can survive for a longer period. And already we have seen that various sections of society have started reacting to it with the by-elections. Again, I'm sorry because of my physical incapability.
Thank you, sir, for your time and also very persuasive and very thoughtful analysis. We really appreciate it. Because of the paucity of time, I believe we can take very few questions, maybe two or three.
Any number. No, I am here.
I think let us start with the right. Yeah, please. Please be very precise. Yes. Thank you.
Please.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for your great information and speech. Sir, I would like to draw your attention towards the position of the governors in India. Yeah. I have a small set of stats with me. From the regime change in 1975 of Janata Party, the dismissal of the governors has been a regular part of the story. They dismissed 15 governors. In 1999, two governors were sacked by NDA government. In 2004, UPA dismissed four governors. And in 2014 elections, till now, 10 governors have been sacked, either sacked or, they have resigned from their position. So, sir, I would like to know that, what is the connection? Because governor is not a position which has to be, which has been connected with government of India. It is being connected to the president of India. But don't you think that this culture is undermining the authority of Indian federalism and Indian constitution even?
Sure. Can you take a couple of more questions?
Okay.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have two small questions and try and put them across to you as soon as I can. So firstly, you talked about assertion of diversity from 1960s and how it culminated into a robust coalition politics since 1989. But however, we've seen in 2014 results that how coalition politics have got relegated into the background and one-party governance possibly has come back again. So there was a big debate about how coalition politics is now dead. So I just want to know your opinions about as to is there any future for coalition politics in your opinion. Secondly, sir, there was a big euphoria about the fact that there was finally a government which has all the numbers and it will be able to work on its own. So, but at the same time, the flip side of it is that the federal voices in the Lok Sabha have been reduced. So do you think that it's really a good thing to have less federal voices, or is it hampering democracy in general?
So my question to you is, how much the role should the regional parties should have in international relationship when a foreign policy of the country is designed? Because we have seen instances like when West Bengal, the Farakka and the land boundary agreement issue, and in case of Sri Lanka also, when the human right was not vetoed. So, I mean, how far is it justified and how far can they play in this terrorism?
Yeah.
So in a democracy is something wherein majority defines the things, not in a unionist sense. So if we realistically analyze the results, the party which has won the absolute majority, 31% of the votes goes to that party. And so technically 69% of the people, they have not been represented. So do you think that in a diversified country like India, proportional representation will really represent the diversity in a sense, in a realistic manner, and it will retain the federal structure of this country?
Any female students?
Fairly in that class.
Okay. Let us. Okay, please.
Yeah, please.
So my question is that you said that the 2014 election was not personal-centered, it was not Modi-centered, but we have come to know about the news that there was many restricted data missing while training of Parliament House, and the some of the judge of Supreme Court was replaced, and everyone was pointing out that this is the autonomous rule of BJP and it has no right to interfere in the court, different structure of judiciary, and it is something even media took it like satiric way that the data were missing. But we have to be critical about this issue that data contain many different distributed facts, and it was only with the initiator of this Modi this training was made and put missed. So I don't think that the 2014 election was personal centered.
Okay. No, I will. Next cycle we'll have another. So that. Well, let me first appreciate the types of questions you have asked, which shows your interest. Well, let me first make one or two points clear that in any country, the working of democracy is seen from different perspectives. And it's ultimately the benefits of the system going to the masses. We decide the goodness, badness, fairness of democracy. So there cannot be simple, just state jacket judgment about democracy and all that. There have been countries where people hardly went to vote because they felt satisfied. And ultimately in a country like Australia and all that, they had to make voting compulsory. So there are various aspects of that. So about this question on governor, in India, there has been going on a process, what James Manor called development and decay, awareness and decay. On the one hand, more and more people are becoming aware, as you are all becoming aware, of the hard realities. But at the same time, our institutions have been getting decayed. And therefore, being used, misused, non-used and all those types of situations. So, governor is one of those institutions which till 1967 was a non-existent institution, ceremonial institution, but from that period onward became such an important institution that it could be used or misused to any extent. And therefore came the Sarkaria Commission report, which made a detailed report how governor should be appointed, this, that. But ultimately political class is one. When you are out of power, you are critique. When you are in power, you use that. But ultimately you are all political class. And therefore, be that BJP, be that Janta, be that Congress, for all of them, governor is a position, so therefore, they all say, and therefore they have interpreted it in a way that governor is representative of the center.
The state of the party.
Of the center, not of the party. But then it becomes. Another thing which has become very important, not only governor, is this, that from 89 onward again, which is important in regard to federalism, in some cases governors, particularly after Bomai case, governor, president, Supreme Court, and even election commission, they have started giving more importance to federalism. As you might have, you know the cases where the president sent the recommendation of the governor back for proclamation of president's rule. And similarly, judiciary coming into that. So therefore, everyone wants a safe president and a safe governor. But as far as safe president is concerned, you don't have much choice with the type of party system, you know it, and therefore at least safe governor. And you have seen in the case of Andhra Pradesh, you have seen in the case of Gujarat, governors trying to interfere, that's another debate. So therefore, all of us agree, but then result is what it is. This question of one party domination and a social diversity, one party domination system has not come back. So let us not be that illusion. No. 2014 elections have given majority to a single party in the Lok Sabha. But this need not be interpreted as one party domination as it was in 1960s. No, absolutely no. As I told you that this one party majority is based A, only 31% of votes. Secondly, primarily concentrated on the spoke base of 9 states. So one party domination was one party's rule everywhere this way. So now, as I told you, the total eastern India, northeast, south, so it's not a one party domination, and therefore this assertion of diversity in fact will be more when a majority party will try to, because one party domination, if you have read that total, it was within parties, one party domination process of accommodation was there. Within one party there was a process of accommodation.
Yes, sir.
Of all types of accommodation, communal accommodation, regional accommodation, linguistic. बहुत पक्के communalist जो communal लोग थे वो भी थे उसमें. पक्के communal लोग थे वो भी थे. जो ये कहते थे कि इस देश में हिंदी के अलावा कुछ नहीं हो सकता वो भी कांग्रेस के member थे. तो that was an accommodating. But one party majority of this type is not that accommodating. So therefore assertion of identity not only will continue, will be federal voices in Lok Sabha have little reduced but not eliminated, which is the third largest party in Lok Sabha. Then so which is the fourth largest party in
TMC.
So federal voices have increased. But as I told you that if there is a process ke single party majority will assert itself, then it's a different story. And it will not be allowed to. So the federal voices have not died. And particularly, we have two houses. Rajya Sabha. And Rajya Sabha elections are done through assemblies. Even now there is not a possibility that Rajya Sabha will be one party majority house. It's very easy that they can convert the two meeting of two houses together, this, that. It's all these things are very easily. Let us see. If one is determined to kill democracy, then it's a different story. Then reactions will be different. So this country has already seen 19 months of emergency. How difficult it was for Mrs. Indira Gandhi to sustain that period. Public posture kuch bhi ho. 19 mahine unhone kis tarah se emergency is desh mein chalai, wo janti hongi. तो अगर आप आज ये कहेंगे कि हम हर असेंबली में बिल पास करा लिया करेंगे, लोकसभा राज्यसभा का सेशन इकट्ठा बुला करके, तो देखा जाएगा जब होगा, अभी तो ऐसा दिखता नहीं है. सो देयरफॉर रीजनल, दिस वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट क्वेश्चन, दिस रीजनल पार्टीज एंड फॉरेन पॉलिसी. देखिए किसी भी कंट्री की जो फॉरेन पॉलिसी होती है उसके डोमेस्टिक कंस्ट्रेंट्स भी होते हैं और डोमेस्टिक जिसे हम कहते हैं ना रूट्स भी होती हैं. दो एवरी कंट्रीज फॉरेन पॉलिसी एक्सेप्ट आई थिंक स्विट्जरलैंड इज परहैप्स वन ऑफ द केसेस वेयर द रीजनल पार्टीज और लोकल स्टेट गवर्नमेंट्स हैव अ रोल. मोस्ट ऑफ द कंट्रीज द फॉरेन पॉलिसी इज द डोमेन ऑफ द, एंड इनफैक्ट इन ए कंट्री लाइक अमेरिका दिस इज द फॉरेन पॉलिसी विच हैज मेड the federal government very strong. कहने को हम ये कहते हैं ना अमेरिका इज अ बहुत फेडरल कंट्री है, बहुत फेडरल कंट्री है, और दुनिया तो अमेरिका को ही जानती है, और उस अमेरिका को जानती है जो दुनिया का दादा है, तो फॉरेन पॉलिसी की वजह से ही ऐसा है. बट स्टिल एवरी कंट्री हैज टू टेक नोट ऑफ दैट. एंड देयर फॉर इन ए कंट्री लाइक इंडिया टू टेक केयर ऑफ रीजनल एस्पिरेशंस इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट. एंड पर्टिकुलरली व्हेन दीज रीजनल एस्पिरेशंस आर, जैसे आपने दो एग्जांपल दिए, श्रीलंका का वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट एग्जांपल, सिमिलरली दीज आर वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट फैक्टर्स. सो सम सॉर्ट ऑफ कंसेंसस हैज टू बी क्रिएटेड. उसका कोई बाय एंड रूल नहीं हो सकता, बट यू हैव टू बी ए कंसेंसस हैड टू बी क्रिएटेड टू मेक ईच अदर अंडरस्टैंड. ये आप ऑटोनमी की कुछ बात मैडम क्या कर रही थी आप, इसी ये मैंने आपसे कहा, नहीं मीडिया की क्रिएशन अभी भी लगता है दैट दिस इज वन मैन डोमिनेटेड इलेक्शन, वन पर्सन डोमिनेटेड इलेक्शन. बट एज आई टोल्ड यू दैट इफ यू गो टू द एनालिसिस, वोटिंग पैटर्न्स, रिजल्ट्स, रादर देन सिंपली मीडिया प्रोजेक्शंस, then you will realize it is not there. Had it been like that, the result would have been entirely different. So it's still what you call social factors important, diversification important, and apart from individual other factors. ठीक है, मीडिया में दुनिया में बहुत कुछ हो रहा है, so therefore in all over everywhere in the world leaders are being projected, charismatic leader is becoming, that's a different aspect, but that does not mean that is the reality. But if anything is left, you wanted to say
one question,
kar lo,
yes, please. Please.
Considering the challenges India is facing today from outside and from inside as well, is federalism really a necessity at this point? So considering a very acute problem of Maoism and in Maharashtra very fanatical regional parties, will India survive if more of this regional aspiration of federalism is pushed up? Will central be able to hold it?
India will survive only if federalism is there. You remove federalism and survival will be difficult.
At this point of time, that's different.
The question is not at this time. The question is, my dear friend, that you can... Okay, just one example. Two small examples for your kind information. In 1947, when India became independent, at that time DMK party, it was written in their constitution that our goal is separation from India. And DK movement, when the whole country was celebrating 15th August, they were holding black flags. We are gulam ho gaye. Getting my point? This is not very far away history. So they felt that now we are going to be slaves of this 3% of Brahmins with Dravidians. Abhi tak to hame hi Angrez bacha rahe the. So they did. By 57, they found that here is federalism, here is a state, we are contesting elections, and through elections we have come to power. And by that time there was an amendment in the constitution which said that any political party which does not believe in this India's integrity cannot contest. So they removed that clause from their constitution. One example. Similarly, Northeast, there was no, earlier only Assam was the one state. You created more and more states. And now, people may here and there, fringe groups, but all those Northeast states are well systematic part of India. This Maoism has nothing to do with diversity. Let me complete. They had nothing to do with diversity. Who stops to have a uniform policy.
Nobody is taking a decision.
Ab lena nahi chahta decision to koi kya kare?
Earlier it was.
No, ek minute. What is decision? Kill them. No one is taking the decision that they should be killed.
No, no strong policy as in case of JNP. You deploy army.
That is what I am saying. So if they have taken a wrong, I entirely agree. If they have taken a wrong decision in about JNK, they should take a wrong decision here also. Is killing people the appropriate method of what is being done in JNK? Is it a proper policy that you distrust everybody? What does strong policy mean? कि तुम ये कहोगे जिंदाबाद तो तुम्हें मार दिया जाएगा. ओए भाई, तुम्हारा हक है, तुम्हें कहने दो. Let us win your heart politically. उन ट्राइबल लोगों की एस्पिरेशन है, फुलफिल देयर एस्पिरेशन. सो स्ट्रॉन्ग डिसीजन डज नॉट मीन दैट योर एस्पिरेशन आर किल्ड.
Some kind of force, even law enforcement cannot deal with
this. This is the problem, that our whole idea is around the law and order problem. उससे आगे हम जाने ही नहीं चाहते, तो क्या करेंगे? चलो कह लें, देख एक लास्ट कह लो बेटा, कह लो.
Sir, don't you think that the 2014 election was also due to the anti-Congress move, because the way the Congress ruled for two terms, and the way the corruption as well as the price hike was oppressing the people, it was also due to the anti-Congress move.
वो तो था ही, हमने उसको deny नहीं किया. हमने पहले कहा था कोई भी एक election single issue election नहीं होता. Basic पर्पज हम जो डिस्कस कर रहे हैं वो ये था कि एक नई चीज प्रोजेक्ट करने की कोशिश की गई थी, तो वो शायद ठीक नहीं थी, नहीं भी होगी. बाकी तो इलेक्शन तो कई बार से हारे जाते हैं, जीते जाते हैं.
थैंक यू प्रोफेसर नारायण साहब.
पैसे भी दिए जाते हैं, शराब भी पिलाई जाती है, सब होता
है. विलिंगनेस टू टॉक एंड एंगेज ऑल आवर स्टूडेंट्स, वी रियली अप्रिशिएट योर टाइम्स इन स्पाइट ऑफ द ट्रैफिक कंडीशंस इन मेकिंग. थैंक यू सो मच. And please visit us again. And thanks to all the students who, in spite of being such late hours, you are here. So thank you very much.
अच्छा बॉस, ये ऐसा है, एक वो आया था आपके यहाँ से,